Now.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Midcasters episode 9. Today we are joined by our normal co-host,
Craig, social
awesome,
media handles, Craig Jr. 97.
Awesome. And today we're joined by a very special guest who I've been trying to get on for the forever, but I keep forgetting, Mr. Spencer.
Spencer Talks Film and TV here. So if you want to follow me on TikTok, it's just handle Spencer Talks Film. I talk all things related to movie and TV news, give my analysis, and do both movie reviews on there as well. So go check me out on TikTok.
And he makes awesome content. Just go give him a follow, because if you're not following him, what are you doing with your life? Anyways, let's jump into some topics today. The first looks at Superman suit and Clark Kent. Craig, or Spencer, what are your thoughts on the suit and Clark Kent?
Well, in terms of the suit, I am pretty mixed right now. My issue mainly is the red trunks. I don't know how to feel about it yet. It's something of the past. James Gunn loves to stick to the comic. He wants to stick to the source material, like what he's shown so far with us. So I'm going to wait for my vert with the trailer. As for the Clark Kent, I don't dread the broccoli hairstyle at all.
Craig, what about you?
I'm digging the suit. I love the red trunks look. As anyone knows who follows me, I'm a big Superman fanatic, and the live action films have not done him justice. And I feel as if this is the time to for Superman fans to actually have a accurate Superman. And I have faith in James Gunn that not only that he knows these characters, but that he'll do justice to the character and the fans as well. So I'm digging the look.
I don't see the vision yet. I definitely am not digging the Clark Kent look. Broccoli hair is what Spencer Clark called it. And I was like, definitely you can't tell it's him. So, I mean, it's doing its job. But the Superman suit looks very baggy. And I keep thinking that maybe he makes it himself, kind of like similar how to Spider-Man makes his, and then kind of develops from there. So maybe we see like new suits, like by the end of the movie, like a more reformed suit. But I mean, I want to be excited for the movie and have a positive outlook that it is going to be good, because we're starting off with Superman in the DC. So that's positive. But let's move into our next topic. Fantastic Four, according to Kevin Feige, is supposed to take place in the 1960s space. It's a period piece, but it may not be the same New York City we've seen in the MCU. What are your thoughts on the multiverse aspect and Fantastic Four in general, and the fact that Kevin Feige always calls them the pillar of Marvel? Let's start with you, Spencer.
Well, I'll get that right out the gate. I've never seen any Fantastic Four movies, but I mean, the multiverse is getting a little overdone in a way with all Disney movies and superhero movies as well, with the Spider-Verse. And now we're seeing it with this one right here. Personally, I think putting the Fantastic Four in a different timer might be a refreshing take on the Fantastic Four, because we had last few iterations in the modern universe. So going back in time might be a breath of fresh air.
I'm excited that they're not going to show us how they actually get their powers. But I mean, if anybody wants to see how they get their powers, watch the two from the 2000s. But Craig, what do you think about this?
I honestly can't wait for Fantastic Four. I wish I could say I'm excited about Blade, but they might as well just cancel that. But
I think they're going to cancel it. I'm so serious. The actor, he's filming in Jurassic World, so this would be the time that Blade was supposed to be filming. But I mean, it's very telling that he's doing Jurassic World instead.
Yeah, but with Fantastic Four, the previous films, the ones with Chris Evans in it, they weren't terrible. They were kind of like bad that they're good. They were kind of like corny, but mm-hmm. in in a good way. Now, the one from 2014, that one was, whew, good Lord. I don't ever want to see that again.
I didn't watch it. I like the ones with the iconic Jessica Alba, because that is Sue Storm to me. Don't get me wrong. I love Vanessa Kirby. I mean, I saw more Jodie Comer taking on that role. I'm still salty about that, but it is what it is. Maybe they'll find a place for her. But let's move into our next topic. Freaky Friday 2 has began production. The first film for reference made over $160 million in the theaters. It was rumored it would be Disney Plus only, but it is not. Are you guys excited for it, especially with the original cast coming back?
Not really. I never really was nostalgic for Freaky Friday, even though I did get dragged along to see the original with my sisters growing up. But I'm not really nostalgic for it, but I think a lot of people will be. So I think some people will show up for it, though. And I do want to see a comeback from Lindsay Lohan.
I'm so happy for her that she's doing this. I really loved her in that Christmas movie she did for Netflix. I know it was a cringy Christmas movie, but like, I love those types of movies. Craig, what do you think about it?
I actually kind of agree. I always thought Freaky Friday, I mean, it's don't get me wrong, it's a fun movie. I love Lindsay Lohan. I love Jamie Lee Curtis. However, I mean, there are other films like similar to that. Like, I'd rather go back and watch Parent Trap a million times over than go back and watch Freaky Friday. Not because it's bad or anything, just because I think that's Lindsay's best and most like iconic film, in my opinion. But I think this should, you know, bring together new and old fans.
It is a Nancy Meyers movie, The Parent Trap, so I'm not surprised with that, because that is one of Nancy Meyers' best films next to The Holiday. But let's get into some other news that we have. We have confirmed from Donkey's mouth himself that we will be getting a Donkey spinoff movie and Shrek 5. With the success of the Puss in Boots movie and Shrek in general, what are your guys' thoughts?
Personally, I kind of care less for Shrek 5, but if it brings younger kids in back into the original Shrek, I'm all for it. I've never seen Shrek 3 or 4, but I do want to see Puss in Boots to the Last Wish. It's been on my watch list for a while, just haven't got to it.
Oh, it's so good. That when I saw that, I was like, man, it makes me really excited for the Donkey movie and the fact that we get Eddie Murphy back.
Yeah, Eddie Murphy, I think, should just stick to voice acting at this point of his career, and staying as Donkey is the best route for that.
Oh, Daddy Daycare is a good movie, though.
Yeah, that's a forgotten 2000s movie I always want to bring up.
I love that movie. But, Craig, what do you think about Shrek 5 and Donkey?
Like Spencer said, Shrek 5, who cares? Get that out of here.
Shrek 3. I think they just need a redemption arc from the last one. Cameron Diaz was retired, so she needed time.
I don't remember anything about the previous Shrek films other than them having kids in the third one. I mean, those films, it peaked after the second one.
Yeah, it should have stayed the trilogy, but I get why we have to get a franchise. I'm okay with it, as long as it brings new fans to the original one.
Yeah, like the Donkey spinoff, I'm more excited about that. I mean, we didn't need it. However, I'm not complaining about it because Eddie Murphy, I loved him as Donkey and as Mushu and Mulan. But the Puss in Boots films, I still haven't seen those, but I've heard they're great.
I do. I think they're pretty good.
You guys want a fun fact about Shrek before we move on?
Huh?
You guys want a fun fact about Shrek before we move on?
Go for it.
So originally, Chris Farley was supposed to be casted to play Shrek before his tragic death in 1990, and his veteran was replaced by Michael Myers.
He would have been fun in that movie, to be honest.
I think it was great the way it turned out.
Yeah, but Shrek's appearance definitely does look like Chris Farley, though, you think about it from the older standpoint. And the humanoid looks like Michael Myers.
Yeah, I guess that's true, because Shrek's kind of all over the place. And that does match his personality. But let's move on to some other news that we have. The Netflix canceled series The Society is making a comeback. Are y'all excited, or are you guys kind of hesitant because you know Netflix likes to cancel things? Spencer, let's go with you.
I am hesitant just because Netflix wants to cancel things and try something new and find something to hope that it'll stick with audiences. Right now, I think they're kind of going all in on the new Squid Games. As they seem that hit, they want to keep building on that.
So disappointed about $18.99. I'm never going to get any resolution. I know. I was like, I need some more. Like, you can't end it like that. Anyways.
It ended on the cliffhanger. Like, was it bought internationally and dubbed? That's really why I wonder.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was dubbed. Because it was, oh my gosh, I forgot her name. But she's in that movie with Scarlett Johansson and Sienna Miller that hasn't come out yet. I can't remember her name now. Emily is her name? But it's not dubbed. I know that. It was a very interesting concept. It kind of makes me wish that it would have been on Apple to begin with, because Apple does a really good job with those mystery thrillers.
Yeah, the binge model doesn't work with that, those thrillers, honestly.
That's true. I mean, The Silo, I was on the edge of my seat every single week. Dark Matter, same thing. It's just they have that ability, and that makes me very happy. But Craig, what do you think about it?
With The Society, I loved that series when it came out, and I might have to go back and rewatch it and give a review because I loved it at the time that it came out. But I think the problem with doing something like that again is that pretty much a lot of those actors have gotten so busy and blown up since then, and they've aged dramatically.
Kind of similar to Stranger Things, because Joseph Quinn has blown up significantly, and so has Maya Hawke since then. Millie Bobby Brown, I don't know. I don't think she wants to be safe from Netflix at this point.
No, she's trapped there with like a multi-movie deal, a long one.
She's like, I'm never going to get out of this Netflix. I don't think she wants to be saved.
And now she's doing that another movie with the Russell Brothers, with just a $300 million budget. Like, what the heck?
It has Chris Pratt, so that explains the budget.
I think that
oh my gosh.
The Society, for anyone who hasn't watched the series, I suggest that you guys watch it for anyone that's listening. The series is really great. It's about this town of teenagers that are stuck inside the town and can't get out, and all the parents suddenly, like all the adults in the town suddenly disappear when they're on a field trip. And it's basically, you know, they have to fend for themselves.
Oh, like the Jimmy Neutron movie where they woke up and all the parents were gone?
Yeah.
I know that's a weird comparison. And then you said it and I was like, wait a minute, like Once Upon a Time, like the show on ABC, and it's like, you know what, it does kind of sound interesting, so I might give it a watch.
Well, except the difference is that in the Jimmy Neutron movie, they were able to leave their town, but in the show, they're stuck in their town.
Oh, okay. I'm going to give it a watch. I'm going to give that a watch and then Manifest a watch. I haven't even watched Manifest, but every time I think about it, I think of MH370 that went missing, and I just can't get that out of my brain. I was like, oh my gosh. Anyways, I think that's probably not related. But moving on to some other news that we have, Twister's movie expectations. They're predicted to make maybe $50 million for opening weekend. What do you think about that? And is this the summer of Glenn Powell?
It comes out the weekend before Deadpool Wolverine, so it's not going to have any good legs after that weekend. So I can see a lot of people saving their money for Deadpool Wolverine the next weekend. And plus, like, who's nostalgic for Twisters besides, like, the older demographic?
I am. It's not related at all. It's its own thing. So there's no, like, original cat. Like, it's just its own thing.
Yeah, plus, you also got to think about it. It has a $200 million production budget, so it needs to make $500 million of box office to break even. So it needs to do well.
I think it can do it. I think it can do it. And I think that it needs to be in the theaters longer than 2 months. And it could have legs eventually and then maybe do really well on streaming.
Well, there's nothing in August really that comes out besides Alien Rhyming List is the only thing that comes out in August that's actually I'm actually hyped for.
Twisters.
Yes.
I haven't seen the original, but I will. When I first saw the trailer for that, I was like, well, this is stupid. But the more I watch the trailer, the more I get excited for it. And Glenn Powell has been on the rise since Top Gun Maverick. And I think it's nowhere he can go but up from here. So despite how much it makes, I do think that the film is going to be great.
I don't think I had a brain fart in my brain. I guess I forgot the thing I was going to say. Anyways, let's move on to our next topic. The Bear Season 3. Have you guys watched it? Are you obsessed? How do you compare it to the other seasons? And are you excited that Season 4 is coming next year?
I have to sit out of this conversation because I have not seen The Bear yet, but I've been wanting to.
Oh my gosh.
Fred, you have not seen The Bear?
You're missing the best show ever made on television. That is the best show I've ever seen on television. And it is so realistic. Like, that is how it is to be in a restaurant.
The Bear, I already did my review on the film. I mean, film, on the TV series, on... I gave it a 7 out of 10. Aside from, like, in my opinion, the series, this season is the Carmi, Sydney, Richie show. And I wish they would have explored other characters. I mean, Carmi.
Well, you Sydney, have Tina.
I mean, yeah, one episode.
I know, but that's kind of like their formula is that like they will all focus on like one certain character in that episode. Like the one Io Debris directed for episode 6 with Tina, it was so heartwarming, heartbreaking, and just really beautiful. And just seeing that conversation she has with the original owner.
Yeah.
Just like she's going through it and then he offers her a job. There was one scene that really stuck out to me is when the cousins go to the hospital, speaks to Claire without saying anything to anybody and be like, yeah, he still loves you. And then she was like, you gotta go.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he's finally going to like pick up the phone to talk to her. Who knows? Like just bothers me, but this is my petition for Will Poulter and Olivia Colman to be series regulars.
I think that, I mean, whether she stays or not, it doesn't matter because, I mean, if they decide to be friends, cool. If they get back together, I mean, I guess. But in my opinion, he was doing fine without her, and he'll be doing fine, you know, going into the future. But I wish they would have focused on more. I wish they would have focused on Marcus more. And Tina Moore, aside from that one episode, other than
you know, Marcus had his own episode too, where he was learning how to do all that baking stuff, which I thought was super cool.
I feel like that's like the only thing we know about him is that he
and his mother passed away.
I mean, yeah, they always show him being depressed and. You know, his baking and yeah, that's cool, but can we get an actual episode about him that focuses on something that does not involve those two things?
I think we're going to have to agree to disagree on that. I'm sad we didn't get another holiday episode. Nothing will beat that holiday episode in season 2. And like that entire cameo, chef's kiss. Like I need to see all of that cast back again.
I still think season 2 is the best.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm excited for season 4, though. But since this is kind of a dramedy and we're seeing more of a rise of dramedies and a drop in comedies, do you guys think sitcoms are dying? Don't say Abbott Elementary. You have to use another example. if you're saying they're not dying, but do you think we're going to see more sitcoms kind of adapt to that style or shorter seasons? Because we all know sitcoms are just amazing and known for their filler episodes and just comedy.
Well, first question I'm going to ask you two, when's the last time you guys watched a show on Fox, CBS, or NBC on the night of the new episode?
I used to watch Grey's Anatomy. I stopped watching Grey's Anatomy, though. I was really big onto the TGIT.
That's exactly why the sitcom is dead. It was made for network televisions, and people don't watch network television anymore for TV. They'll wait for it coming on streaming service.
Yes.
So 30-minute sitcom is dead because of that reason.
And the whole thing that I keep pointing out is that, like, we want hybrid styles. We want emotionally rich stories that are crafted. We don't want filler episodes. We want just this new polished way of storytelling. And I feel like we see that a lot more on streaming with, like, if you've seen Silo, because I always take the opportunity to bring up that show on Apple TV with Rebecca Ferguson, we're seeing like these big name stars do this, and before that you wouldn't see them in a sitcom, and this obviously means a higher budget. And I think like this is smart, but there's needs to be a balance with episodes. Not, we don't want 6 episodes, I want 10 or 12 episodes.
Well, as I said, like I think one producer said, the fewer episodes we get, it means the higher the budget is for each episode.
Ooh, that's true. I mean, I guess The Acolyte would be like that. I'm not a big fan of that show, but it just goes to show that we want beautiful filmmaking with good showrunners, good storytelling, and writers that are like directing episodes. And The Bear is a good example of that. I mean, Abbott Elementary is okay, and that's the only show that comes to mind. But I do see there a rise of people watching sitcoms on streaming. So like rewatching Reba or something.
Or How I Met Your Mother, The Office.
Exactly. And plus they're going to be coming out with an Office. I don't know if it's going to be a Peacock official or a Peacock original only. I would assume it probably will be.
Yeah. That's going to be called The Paper, which is centered around a newspaper company, a bunch of writers there. So as a new paper industry, that's obviously been declining rapidly over the last decade.
I found the funniest thing, and it's not a sitcom. It is like this marketing team at a place called Mohawk Chevrolet. And the marketing team is just like making their own version of The Office. And it is legit the best thing that I've seen. It is hilarious. I mean, they're like 5-minute episodes, 5-minute long videos, but they're still pretty good. It just allows people to be creative with what stories they're telling. I highly recommend watching those videos.
Oh, one thing I do want to mention about like current day sitcoms is that the people are too attractive. They're not, they don't like normal people. And they live in like super nice apartments as well. Like you live in New York City, you live in a shithole.
Oh yeah, Friends would not be a good example because like no way they're affording to live that and have rent control. Sex and the City, same thing. I don't buy anything Carrie Bradshaw's doing. I won't watch the new one because I don't like that show.
And I think the problem is the longer a sitcom goes on, like a lot of, I can't name a sitcom where the ending satisfied fans. Because usually a lot of times the last episode of a sitcom that goes on for so long is very unsatisfying.
I mean, I was not finale, but the final season itself was not very good once Topher Grace left the show.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I forgot about that show. That 70s show?
Oh.
I don't mind the show. It's okay, but it's not like the greatest show that's ever existed. I don't think there is a show that I've ever felt satisfied with by the ending. Maybe
what about Friends? Maybe Friends, I think it did. I'm not sure. It's before my time.
Oh, yeah. I was aggravated the entire series. Like, it's not that hard to communicate. Like, y'all could have had this over by episode, like season 6 or something, and we're just dicking around at this point.
Well, How I Met Your Mother is a perfect example of how a show got stretched out. I think it originally was expected to have like 2 or 3 seasons. So that's why I think they always had a plan for Ted to fall in love with Robin, for her to be the mother, but they had to stretch out from that original plan and cram it, make the one horrible bad season.
The last season was really bad.
Final endpoint.
Killing Eve is another example. Like, that whole last season is really bad. You hear people always talk about the last season of Game of Thrones. But
that needed more time. The show needed more time.
Yeah, hopefully they do justice with House of the Dragon. I still haven't finished Game of Thrones. I will eventually. But when it came out, I didn't even have access to HBO. I mean, Sex and the City, it had a good ending.
And there was another genre that has died over the last few years. The high school movie.
Oh,
are you talking about
coming of
age? Like Super Bad, American Pie.
Like last week, I watched The Edge of 17 and Ridgemont High, and like, you don't get shows or TV shows based in high school anymore.
That's true. We had Euphoria, but that's not really realistic.
I will say, when we do get them, the actors are always like 8 years older than their character.
Oh my gosh. And we have to talk about the whole fact that they take like 2 or 3 years to get the next season out. I'm sorry, but The Office cast was pumping out episodes and seasons and all these sitcoms like nobody's business. Like, I stopped watching Stranger Things after season one. I'm like, this is 3 years too late. I've moved on. I don't care for the next season anymore.
That's understandable. Like, can they just cast actors that are the accurate age of their characters? Like, you expect me to believe that you're in high school? Like, dude, you have a full beard.
I think the girl who played Rizzo in Grease was like in her 30s too. She played a high school kid.
I mean, that doesn't bother me then. It was like a 30-year-old playing a 20-year-old. That doesn't bother me.
No, she was playing like a high school kid, like a 15, 16-year-old or something like that.
Oh, gotcha. But back where you're
saying,
again,
it was the 70s.
Taking too long to come out. The sitcoms, they were able to pump it out so quick because think about it, there's like only two or three sets that they had to use. Or they're going to see mainly the sake of one location.
Yeah, that's so true.
It wasn't very costly for them, or there's no CGI either, so there wasn't a big cost.
I mean, The Crown is different because it was all traditionally the same set, and I'm like, okay, I finished the series, but like, I've moved on. Or like House of Cards, I'm like, oh my gosh, why are we taking so long? But moving on from sitcoms, we have an article from Margot Robbie, who has joined the alcohol world, like Ryan Reynolds, Mark Wahlberg, so many actors who got it, George Clooney, who got into the world of selling alcohol. She's talking about how it's easier to sell alcohol than it is to sell a movie. What do you guys think about that, Spencer?
It's all about branding. Her name's on the vodka company. That's an easy sell. People know who Margot Robbie is, and they'll buy it, wherever the price is. As for movies, like especially an original IP, original concept, that's a hard pitch to the studio. Like, we don't. That's a lot of risk for them. Put $100 million into an unknown product.
Barbie was a really hard sell for them, she has said, and that she promised it would make $1 billion. Obviously she didn't think it would, and then it did, and it's just like, it is hard to sell that because you have studios that don't want to take risks on original product, unlike A24. They're willing to take that risk and do a lower budget situation. But Craig, what do you think about that?
I think it's smart. Everyone, if a lot of people know who you are, then obviously they're going to be open to what kind of businesses that you're interested in or opening. A lot of celebrities explore other, you know, stuff outside of, you know, their profession, whether it's coffee, alcohol, a sneaker brand or whatever it is. I totally understand why she's doing it, and her explanation makes a whole ton of sense, because I mean, Barbie on paper, you're like, wait a minute, Barbie, the dolls, that's stupid. that's that's dumb. Who would go see that? But I mean, obviously they were wrong. That made that movie racked in a ton of money. You had girlfriends bringing their boyfriends to the film, to the movie theater. Even I saw dudes wearing pink as well. So
it was nice to see them take a risk on that.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to see people take risks on original content. Instead, we get more sequels, Disney.
Yeah, and I don't know about y'all, but I'm not really a drinker like that. I don't drink.
I did buy Nespresso only because of George Clooney. I'm very serious about that. I'm like, oh, he made coffee look sexy, so I had to do that. Oh my gosh. But let's jump into our last topic. And this is the topic that Spencer provided. What, so far, since we're halfway through the year, what are your top five movies so far? One most surprising movie and one that's disappointed you the most. Spencer, let's go with you.
Are we doing like all in order, like top five, or we're only going to go like one at a time?
You can do your top five.
All right. So my top five, right at number five, I got Civil War. Then at number four, I got Furiosa, a Mad Max saga. It's a true travesty that bombed the box office. Her Venom story needed to be seen by more people. Then at number three, I got Challengers. Good story. It's a good love triangle bouncing back and forth between past and present as we uncover the layers of this relationship dynamic between our three main characters. Then at number two, the surprise here, I got Richard Linklater's Hitman. And on number one, by no surprise for me, I got Dune Part 2.
Craig, what are your top five?
Top five is The Bike Riders. That one, I wasn't really expecting too much going into it. I know it was going to be good, but I didn't think it was going to be that good. Four, Civil War. Three, Monkey Man. Two, Bad Boys Ride or Die. And number one, same as Spencer, Dune Part 2.
Ooh, I love that list. For me, I'm going to have to go with Civil War because I just loved all the actors involved, and it's just very telling for the world that we're living in today. Number four, Inside Out 2. I've never seen the first Inside Out, but this one was so relatable, so I had to see it. Number three, The Bike Riders, because I've been waiting forever for that movie. Number two, The Challengers, Team Tashi Duncan All Day Long. And number one, the same as all of you, Dune Part 2, probably the best sequel ever made. But what is one of your most surprising films this year?
Yeah, so my surprise of the year is Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Whenever I first heard Planet of the Apes is going to get revived again, I'm like, after the Matt Reeves trilogy and Caesar, I'm like, no, why? They're so good. Just leave it at that. But it surprised my expectations. Actually, I thought at best it was going to be very mediocre, but honestly, I had a good time with it. It's a great setup movie for our new trilogy. If they go past the five original movie plan.
Okay.
Plus, they got one of the best lines in it too, saying, "What a wonderful day," with Proximus Caesar.
Okay, I do see that. I did like that part. I haven't seen the movie, but I have seen that scene.
My most surprising is actually Mother's Instinct. It's a film starring, it's like a psychological thriller drama film starring Anne Hathaway and Jessica Chastain. And Anne Hathaway, her son dies in a accident, and Jessica Chastain, her character, she thinks that Anne Hathaway is like out to get her and her family because her son is still alive and Anne Hathaway's is gone. So yeah, it's like a volcano almost erupting, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I still have to see that one. That was on my list to watch. Plus, I love those two. I know this one might not be a popular one, but I was really surprised by the idea of you not Harry Styles fan fiction like it was marketed to be. Like, you just didn't think it was going to work, but then it did work. But some parts obviously didn't work. But I was just very surprised by this. And I'm going to need Anne Hathaway in another rom-com ASAP.
Well, go watch A Family Affair on Netflix tonight.
Ooh, yes. I'll add that to the ever-growing list.
And then compare it to The Idea of You and see which one's better. Because it's almost like the same concept. It's a twin movie.
But I could watch wait, the real life.
A Family Affair.
And what is that
put
on?
That on the list.
It's on Netflix. I think it's like the second twin movie we got this year. Like we had the first Omen and like, what was the one with Sydney Sweeney? I can't think of what that horror movie was.
I don't know the name of that movie.
Immaculate.
Yeah, Immaculate and like the first Omen are basically a twin movie.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard that the first Omen is leagues better. But I haven't watched the original yet.
I'm not a horror person, so I don't really watch all of that. So I'm going to let y'all watch those and tell me how it goes. I'm not a horror
person either.
Oh, gosh.
Like, I'm not as hyped as Nosferatu as other people are. Like, it got me a little bit interested, but I'm not super hyped for it.
Yeah, I'm not hyped for anything other than Scream. That's the only thing I care for. but what is your most disappointing film of the year?
Oh, Spaceman starring Adam Sandler. I was so excited when I got the news Adam Sandler's going to be in a sci-fi instead of a comedy. But what we got was a dull story as if Adam Sandler's just an astronaut as Adam Sandler just has a lucid dream, was a talking spider that always says, silly human.
Oh my gosh, it was just a giant spider.
It's like, you silly skinny human.
Like, where did the spider come from? I have no clue.
And the movie just dragged with a 90-minute runtime. I'm like, this is so
boring. Oh my gosh. Oh gosh. Craig, what about you?
Is that the one that was on?
That was on Netflix.
First of all, I refused to even watch that film.
It's a waste of time.
Sony's trailers aren't even good.
It was not.
I liked it. It was so bad that it was so good. That's how I felt about it. Like, it was just a fun time to make fun of. Like, is it a good film? No, it's not. But justice for Sydney Sweeney as Black Cat.
It's so weird because I was watching a video. And they had her in, like, her character is supposed to be like 15, 16, but yeah, they have her wearing these. Yeah, and they have her wearing these really schoolgirl outfits, which is very strange. Mm-hmm. But most disappointing film, I'm checking through my letterbox now and. There's a few of them, but I'd probably say Miller's Girl. That was absolutely abysmal.
I love Jenna Ortega.
Yeah, I love Jenna Ortega, but girl, what was you thinking?
money. Oh, gosh. Mine kind of bad. Mine is Argylle. I was like, that's Apple's version of A Kingsman. I still kind of had fun with it until she was ice skating on oil.
What?
Oh my god. Yeah, the CGI film is so bad.
Can we ban CGI fighting? I'm gonna just bring that to Congress. That's the most important issue in America right now.
Oh my god, Roadhouse, the worst one, that third act.
Oh, yeah, I'd like to forget about that movie, but we are getting a second one, for those who don't know. You don't need to watch the first one. Just go watch the original with Patrick Swayze, because that is the best. But that is our topics for the day. This is episode 9 of the Midcasters. I'm Jalen. You can catch me on Lost in Life Translation, on Tick of the Talk, Sandra Loves Movies on Letterboxd. I was having a stroke for a second. And Jalen Sanderson on Twitter. Craig, where can they find you?
You can find me on the Tick of the Talk. Now you got me saying it. and all other social media platforms at Craig Jr. 97.
Awesome. And Spencer, where can they find you?
Yeah, so on TikTok, you can find me at Spencer Talks Film. And for Letterboxd, it's Spence Talks Film.
Awesome. And that is episode 9. Come back next week for episode 10. And if you guys have any thoughts, comments, questions, or requests, you know what to do. Drop it in those comments. But bye-bye.